Welcome to episode 8 of the Fredcast. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Today's Fredcast is coming to you live from Germany. That's right, I'm in the land of Jan on a business trip. So this is going to be a quick Fredcast, just a little bit of news and a quick update on my new Garmin Edge. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Welcome to another episode of the Fredcast. Sorry this one's going to be short, and I'm sorry that the sound is so awful, but I'm sitting in a hotel room in the middle of Germany, and I didn't bring the good equipment with me, so you're just going to have to bear with me here. So just a little bit of news for you today, and it's going to be a real quick Fredcast. First thing in the news, by the time you hear this podcast, the tour of California probably will have started, and while I'm over here freezing my butt off, those of you on the West Coast are going to be enjoying European-style stage racing like never before. So even though I can't enjoy the festivities, I wanted to take one more opportunity to remind you to go to the website at www.amgentourofcalifornia.com and find time to call in sick to work to go watch some of cycling's top professional teams race from San Francisco to Los Angeles in the 8-day, 600-mile event. Now, in addition to the professional racing, there's going to be festivals, parties, charity rides, and, you know, basically just a general good time to be had by everyone. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and this is kind of interesting that Amgen, who is obviously the title sponsor of the Amgen Tour of California, is the manufacturer of, among other things, something that we've talked about a bit here on the Fredcast, and that's EPO. EPO is the drug that increases red blood cells in cancer patients, and which is also used by cycling and other top professional athletes who want to illegally boost their performance. This is doping, folks, and Amgen makes it. I just thought that that was sort of an interesting juxtaposition if you consider that they're sponsoring this big ride. The race starts with a prologue in San Francisco on Sunday, February the 19th, and then it goes through Sausalito, Santa Rosa, Martinez, San Jose, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, Solvang, Santa Barbara, and Thousand Oaks before a final day's circuit race in Redondo Beach on Sunday. Levi Leipheimer, who's a pro racer and Tour de France rider, lives in Santa Rosa, California, and earlier this week he said, quote, "It's a long stage race. There are climbs and wind and time trials, but obviously we don't quite have the severe levels of the Tour de France. But it's a mini Tour de France, and it's in our backyard. So for those of you that are on the West Coast, or those of you who are going to be traveling to the West Coast this week, and while I'm usually on the West Coast, I'm going to miss it, but for those of you that are there, it's in your backyard. This is a great opportunity to get out there and just enjoy some of cycling's top professionals. So get out there and enjoy it. Okay, this next story isn't going to come as a surprise to any of you that have been watching the feud between the UCI and the Grand Tours over the past few months. But last week, the UCI announced that it will not authorize the Grand Tours Trophy, an annual award which they had been planning, at least the organizers of the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the Vuelta a España had been planning. In a press release on the UCI website, the UCI says that they have, quote, "noted that this project does not respect the principles of the road cycling reform as introduced by the UCI. In particular, this project lies on a financial approach which is counterproductive and which would harm the visibility of the cycling calendar, demonstrating, moreover, a lack of responsibility towards cycling as a whole." In other words, they're not going to authorize the trophy because they're mad. Now, I haven't seen any comment yet from the Grand Tours, but I suspect that their response is going to be a big fat yawn. Nobody ever expected the UCI to authorize the trophy, and the submission of it to the UCI was really just a formality, which the Grand Tours knew was going to be declined anyway. I don't think this is going to stop them from organizing the trophy anyway, but I do think that this is going to serve to strengthen their resolve against the UCI and the whole Pro Tour concept. At the end of their press release, the UCI went on to remind, or perhaps reprimand, the Grand Tours about the rules and the fact that, according to the UCI, they need to be followed. So, again, the Grand Tours are going to happen this year. There's no doubt about that. But this whole feud really needs to be put to bed sooner or later, because it's only serving to be something that's bad for professional cycling. So, you'll recall that a few weeks ago I did a report on the Fredcast about riding your bike with an iPod. and that I cautioned you to please make sure that you're not distracted, that you can hear the traffic around you, and that you should certainly check your local laws to make sure that it's even legal to use one when you're riding, or whether you need to keep just one headphone out of your ear when you're riding. So last week, all of these admonitions were brought home when a 32-year-old cyclist in England was crushed to death under a truck that she couldn't hear because she was listening to her iPod. Patricia McMillan didn't hear the truck as it approached, and it hit her, and she was then thrown from her bike, and she got crushed to death by the truck's wheels. McMillan was studying law, and she wanted to be a human rights attorney. In the meantime, she was working as a waitress and a part-time personal trainer. Now, according to articles I've read, the accident occurred in broad daylight, in good weather, but every article seems to blame Patricia for cycling with headphones, and none of them, not a single one, says anything about the truck driver and the fact that he hit a cyclist in broad daylight. One article quoted the Royal Society for the Protection of Accidents, warning cyclists not to use iPods or any other equipment with headphones while riding. They even contacted Apple, who refused to comment. None of the articles said anything about contacting the driver or the trucking company. So, once again, if you have an accident out there, essentially what this is telling me is that the general public is going to basically assume that it's your fault. So, be careful, ride safe, make sure you follow your local laws. This is really, really sad. She was just riding out there, and whether she was riding an iPod or not, I suspect this truck driver was probably going to hit her. So I know I say it all the time, but please, please be careful out there. Okay, if you live in the U.S. and you're into cycling, which I assume you are because you listen to this podcast, then you are already familiar with the OLN TV network. They're the ones who every year publicize the Tour de France, day after day. Well, last week, they announced their schedule for televising the upcoming professional cycling season, including the upcoming Spring Classics. Now, the coverage is going to be mostly on Sunday nights, beginning Sunday, March 5th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's when they're going to cover Paris-Nice. Returning to duty this year are our old friends Phil Liggett, Paul Sherwin, and the wildly gesticulating Bob Roll. According to Gavin Harvey, who's the president of OLN, quote, cycling continues to be an important part of OLN programming. With Lance's retirement, fans are eagerly waiting to see who will emerge as the sport's next star. Through our coverage of the Spring Classics, we will be able to chronicle the drama leading up to and including the Tour de France. You can find the schedule posted up on the OLN website, and I've also put the schedule in the show notes along with a link to OLN's website. Besides the Sunday night shows, OLN is again offering live coverage of the Tour de France every day throughout the race, and they're also planning to offer the option to view streaming live feeds of Monday through Saturday stages of the Giro d'Italia, and they're going to be doing that on their website, although they haven't quite yet said what the pricing is going to be or what any of the terms are. So, again, good news that there is a network in the United States that is interested in cycling. It would be nice if it was more than just Sunday nights, but at least it's something. So go ahead and check out the show notes and you will find OLN's schedule for this year. Okay, for all you Kiwi Freds out there, I just wanted to make a really quick mention of the fact that National Bikewise Week is coming up, and it takes place throughout New Zealand from February 26th through March 5th. From what I've read, there's local and national events planned for the entire week, and that it's going to include festivals, rides, and a bunch of informational sessions. I've put a link in the show notes for the National Bikewise Week website, so if you're in New Zealand or plan to be in New Zealand for that week, be sure to check it out. And finally tonight, you may recall that a couple of Fredcasts ago, I told you about the fact that the legislature in South Dakota was considering a bill to allow horse and bike riders to ride their bikes and their horses drunk. Well, I have an update for you on that story. I can now report that the bill was actually signed into law by South Dakota Governor Rounds. Now, the text of the actual law and a link to the legislative history are now in the show notes, but the bottom line is that bikes, trikes, and horses have now been exempted from drunk driving statutes. The bill goes into effect on July the 1st, and there's no word yet on whether saloon owners around the state are ordering their new bike racks and hitching posts.
Wielerjournaal.
Hi, David. This is Eric from the Dutch cycling podcast Wielerjournaal, which could be translated as Cycling Report. I listen to your podcast frequently, although I'm a week behind now, and you spoke of the predictions for the Tour de France of 2006, made by Lance Armstrong and Eddy Merckx. I believe the reason why they predict Ulrich as the winner is the fact that the stages are almost written for him. If there would have been a little more focus on mountain stages, Ivan Basso would have been the man to place your bets on. If you love mountain stages, I recommend watching the Giro. The Giro will be much harder than the Tour this year, I think. Especially stage 20, with the Mortirolo climb, will be spectacular. I was wondering if you know Chad Hedrick. I bet you do now. Here in Holland we know him for a little longer, I think. He won the first gold medal for the USA in the Olympic Games with speed skating. In Holland, Chad is very famous for, well, more than a year now. And remember when skating is on TV, millions of people are watching here in Holland. In fact, a lot more people watch skating than, for example, the Tour de France. Chad Hedrick to us is the prototype of the perfect American sportsman. He's almost like a copy of Lance. His determination, his style, his simplistic approach to sports is so American, at least to us. Of course we'd like to see our own athletes win, but when our guys lose, we don't mind if it's from an athlete like Lance or Chad. They are of a special category. It might be a cultural thing. This week I heard a Dutch skater say that if he wins a championship in the weekend, people say, that's great, but what are you doing on Monday? And that is so true. Athletes in Europe never become true heroes, like athletes in the USA. I was wondering what your opinion is about that. You as an American, how do you look at your own athletes and at the Europeans? Anyway, I love your podcast. If you speak Dutch, you should listen to mine, www.wielerjournaal.nl, but you probably don't. Hey, keep podcasting. Bye. Wielerjournaal.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much for that audio comment. That was really, really fantastic. I really appreciate it. In case you missed it, Eric's website is www.wielerjournaal.nl, and I'll put links in the show notes. But let me just respond a little bit to what Eric had to say. I also think it's interesting about all these famous cycling commentators and famous cyclists picking Jan to win the Tour. I think it's absolutely true. Jan is not Mr. Powerhouse in the mountains. And if you look at this year's Tour, there really are not that many mountain stages as there were in the past. I guess, you know, you could also say that the Tour, when Lance was riding, was almost tailor-made for him. There's a great line from one of his books, one of Lance's books, that is, where he's talking to his little boy, and his son's really little, and he says, he's telling his son he's going to go out and he's going to ride. And he says, Daddy's going to go out and he's going to ride. And what does Daddy do? And his little boy looks at him and he says, Daddy punishes him in the mountains. And that's really true. And that's a lot of where Lance had a lot of success in the Tour. And Ivan Basso, you're absolutely right, Eric. He definitely dominates in the mountains. And you'll recall that he and Lance really battled it out in the mountains more than once. And so, perhaps this has been tailor-made for Jan. And since I'm in Germany at the moment, it doesn't hurt to say that I too think he has a really, really good shot at the Tour this year. Now, as far as the Giro, I think you're right. The Giro is going to be a really tough race this year. And what's interesting, and we've talked about it here on the Fredcast, are the number of famous riders who sometimes in the past they tend to skip the Giro as they're preparing for the Tour de France. But this year they're all going to the Giro. So I think there's going to be a lot of competition, and I think it's going to be a really, really tough race. So thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate it. Now, Chad Hedrick, you're right. Everybody in the United States, they had no idea who this guy was because, quite frankly, in the United States, skating is really not that popular except every 4 years when the Olympics come around, especially speed skating. There's a lot of people who are really celebrating Chad Hedrick right now. And I think it's neat to hear that he's been a hero or at least an admired athlete in the Netherlands for so long when really he's just sort of burst onto the national scene in the United States. And while we're talking about it, I'm really glad you asked me that about how Americans think about athletes as heroes and what my personal comments are. I have to be honest with you. I'm really not really in favor of calling athletes heroes. To me, heroes are people who do incredible feats of selflessness or who have found cures to diseases, or have really done something that has contributed to society in general, whether it's in their ethics or their morality or in their leadership or their innovation. To me, that makes a hero. So, you know, maybe it's overused, but, you know, policemen and firefighters, especially, you know, when they're running into buildings that are burning or collapsing, people like Jonas Salk, who have cured diseases and really done amazing things for the world, Gandhi and people like that. To me, those are heroes. Athletes, you know, I admire them for what they're able to do, for their athleticism. I admire them when they're good sportsmen. A lot of times, some of the quote-unquote heroes, at least in the United States, of athletics, have not been good sportsmen. And as a father and somebody who takes ethics and morality seriously, I can't look at people like that as heroes. I can admire them for their skill, but to me, they're not heroes. So I think it's a really good question that you asked, and I'm glad that you did. So, you know, for instance, Lance, as far as cycling goes, you know, I think he's amazing. I think that he's done some great things, especially with his comeback from cancer. And I think that some of the things that he's done for cancer victims, those have been some heroic feats. But do I look at him as a hero because he won 7 Tours de France? No, I admire him for that, but that doesn't make him my hero. I, too, am sorry that I don't speak Dutch. I've been to Holland. I'm not far from there today. And I've always enjoyed my time when I've gone to the Netherlands, and unfortunately, I do not speak Dutch. But for those of you who do, I'm going to remind you again, Eric's podcast is at www.wielerjournaal.nl, and there are links in the show notes. So, Eric, thank you so much for your comments. I really, really appreciate it, and good luck with your podcast. Okay, well, it's been a few days since I've gotten my new Garmin Edge, and I've talked to you about that a couple of times here on the Fredcast, and I'm going to probably have an interview coming up here with Garmin in a couple of weeks' time about the Edge. But I just want to sort of give you my first impressions of the unit and let you know what I thought of it. First of all, I was really, really excited when I got it, and the very first thing I did was I took my Mavic Cycle computer off my handlebars, I took my Garmin Forerunner off my handlebars, and I put on the new Edge, and I put the cadence sensor and the speed sensor on, and I got ready to ride. Now, the Edge comes in several different models, the 205 and the 305, and you can get the 305 with either the cadence and the speed, or with the heart rate monitor. But what's a little bit confusing about Garmin's website is the fact that, let's say, for instance, you do as I did, and you buy the 305 with the cadence sensor. That doesn't mean that you also can't use a heart rate monitor. So what you do is you buy the cadence unit, and then you also buy the extra heart rate strap that Garmin sells. And then when you turn on your Edge, you tell it that, yes, you have a cadence sensor, and then you tell it that, yes, you have a heart rate monitor, and then it monitors both. So you can indeed have both, and that's a little bit confusing about Garmin's marketing. So I do. I've got the cadence sensor, and it mounts on the rear chainstay, and then there's a magnet that goes on the crank so that it knows what your cadence is, and then there's a magnet that goes on your rear wheel so that it can monitor your speed that way, as opposed to monitoring your speed via GPS. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. In addition, you've got the heart rate strap. So, went out for a ride, and my very first ride, one of the things that you can do, and I really like this, is you can customize what you put on the screen when you're riding. So, one of the things I always want to know about is how much climbing I've done on a particular ride. So, there's actually a data field that you can put up on that screen, and you can have 8 or 9 different data fields on there at once, so however many you want. And one of the things I put on there was total altitude gain. Well, within about 20 miles, it said that I had gained about 250,000 feet. And I thought, you know, I'm a good climber, but I'm not that good. And it turns out, and for those of you out there who have been struggling with this, the Edge unit comes with a barometric altimeter. In other words, it works just like an altimeter in an airplane in that it figures out what altitude you're at and how much climbing you've done by looking at barometric pressure, as opposed to using the satellites to determine its altitude. And here's why. If you think about those satellites, they're way up there in geosynchronous orbit, you know, about 25,000 miles above the surface of the Earth. and there can be anomalies in the signal as it travels through the atmosphere down to your GPS unit, and there can be little wobbles in each of these satellites' orbits. And as a result, the actual speed that your GPS is going to give you and the altitude that your GPS is going to give you is not incredibly accurate. As a matter of fact, for airplane pilots to be able to use GPS for an instrument approach, in other words, landing at an airport when it's cloudy and they're flying through the clouds, in order for them to be able to use GPS for that approach, they obviously need to know their altitude and speed. And the only way that that's authorized is if they have something called wide area augmentation system and that they're taking additional readings, not just from the satellites, but also from a ground-based sensor as well. And since these little GPS units on our bikes don't have that built in and they're not able to get that additional radio frequency from the ground-based unit, the most accurate way to get speed and altitude is to get the speed off your wheel, just like on a conventional cycle computer, and to get the altitude off of a barometric altimeter. Well, I called Garmin and I said, gee, you know, I'm having a little bit of a problem here with my altitude function. And what I learned, and this is the important thing for those of you who are early adopters like I am, what I learned is that about 24 of these units came from the factory with a problem with their barometric altimeter. So if you're having a problem, or it looks like you're just a monster climber like me with 250,000 feet climbed in about 20 miles, then I recommend that you call Garmin, let them know you're having this problem, and I don't think it's going to be any problem for you to swap your unit with them. So definitely do that. Now, one of the other issues that I found with the unit was that the battery life does not appear to be as good as it was on my Forerunner. I know that with my Forerunner, I could go out, I could do a century, I could ride 5 or 6 hours or more, and still the next day I could go out for a 1.5, 2, 3 hour ride and not having changed or charged my batteries. What I noticed with my Edge was that around mile 70 of my century a few weeks ago, it gave me a low battery warning, and it remained at what looked like zero battery level all the way through mile 103 when the century actually ended. So I was able to get through the century, but it didn't look like the battery was going to make it, and I didn't risk it on my ride the next day. I made sure to charge it. So battery life issue, now again, maybe it's because that unit that I had was defective with the barometric altimeter. So I'll let you know again on a future podcast, but just keep that in mind. Battery life so far doesn't look quite as good. And if you've got an Edge and you're finding something different, let me know. Now, that's two negative things. Other than that, this unit rocks. I am really, really happy I have it. It really seems to do everything that I've wanted it to do. It interfaces with the computer really well. And now, other than, you know, with my Forerunner, it was really only tracking speed and altitude and heart rate. Now I'm also tracking my cadence as well. And I'm really, really happy with it. So as the weeks go on, I'll let you know whether or not my replacement unit, which should be at my house right now, whether or not that unit is better than the one that I just replaced. But overall, I'm pretty happy with it. And like I said, I'm hoping that in the near future, I'm going to have an interview with somebody from Garmin so they can tell us you know, pretty much why cycling. Because I'm intrigued with the fact that they've focused on cycling when none of the other GPS manufacturers have done so. Now, having mentioned all of that about the Edge and about how much I like it, I also want to let you know that I've got some other reviews planned in the future of some other cycling computers. So look for those coming up soon, and don't just think that I'm a shill for Garmin. I just, you know, have been very satisfied with their products. Okay, a listener sent me an email and said that he's had a problem with episodes 6 and 7. Apparently, he's got an older MP3 player, and he said that all the other episodes were playing just fine on his MP3 player, but that episodes 6 and 7 were a little bit of a problem for him. So just curious if any else of the rest of you are having these problems with those. If so, please let me know so I can track down what the problem may or may not be. And, you know, I don't want you guys having problems listening to the Fredcast, so please let me know if you're having problems with those episodes as well. Just a couple of shout-outs for you tonight. I wanted to say hi to Noreen in Oregon. Noreen is part of the Nike organization, and their cycling team up there has been working with a new energy drink called Glucose, and she sent me some samples, which I'm going to be reviewing on the next Fredcast. So Noreen, just wanted to say hi and thank you. Also wanted to say hi to Adam from Oregon. Also Joe from Texas. Joe's a firefighter, one of those heroes I talked about a little bit earlier. So Joe, thank you for what you do for your community. But Joe also wanted to point out the fact that to him, he and I, he says, are techno weenies. We're not Freds. According to him, Freds are the guys who wear a white t-shirt when they ride, and the straps from their bib shorts are actually outside their white t-shirts. I think that's true. That's a Fred, and I'll definitely cop to the techno weenie part, but I don't know, techno weenie cast didn't sound as good as Fred cast, so we're going to stick with Fred cast. And finally, I wanted to say hi to Brian from Madison, Wisconsin. Brian sent me a really funny email, and he was saying that he wished that I would do the Fred cast every single day, and he was really sorry that I had a day job and that I wouldn't be able to. And I told him it's no problem. All he has to do is sponsor me. You know, new upgraded shifters every once in a while, a little bit of money my way, no problem. I'll be happy to put his name on my jersey. Well, I don't think any of that's going to happen. So in the meantime, you get your Fredcast once a week. But Brian, thank you so much for your email. And I want to thank those of you who are getting the word out about the Fredcast. Please continue to vote at Podcast Alley. There's a link in the show notes. Please continue to tell your friends about the Fredcast. And everybody in your cycling team, when you go out on those club rides, let them know. Tell them to listen. I appreciate it. If, like Brian and Joe and Adam and Irene and everybody else who sent me emails, you want to send me an email or you want to send me an audio comment like Eric did, please do so at thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can always send me a voicemail at area code 206-203-FRED. Or you can go to the website at www.thefredcast.com. So direct from Germany, I want to wish you all a good week. Enjoy the tour of California if you have a chance to get out there and see it. I've got a roving reporter out there, folks, who's going to be bringing us some great audio, I'm hoping, from the tour of California over the coming days. So look for that in the next Fredcast or two. I want to say I'm sorry for the horrible audio that I'm bringing you tonight. It's just a fact of the matter that I'm on the road and I did not bring my best equipment with me. So please bear with me. I'll be back at home next weekend and I'll definitely be bringing you a much clearer, crisper Fredcast. In the meantime, PodSafe Cycling music this evening is a song called Mark My Words by Granian. Comes to us from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Links in the show notes to the Pod Show site as well as to Granian's website. So from the land of yawn, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
Setting this wall, oh.